بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, today will be the conclusion of Surah Al-Inshiqaq, and then hopefully next week we begin with Surah Al-Buruj. So we come to the final passage of this surah, and the final passage begins from فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. And now, in this final passage, we are coming to the conclusion of the surah, in where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls us to a point of reflection and to ponder over some of His creation. He wants us to think really, really deeply about what's going to be read, inshallah ta'ala, and shared. And so we have to pay extra attention to these ayat, especially the first four. So keep your attention with me for the first four ayat. Hopefully, inshallah, we can learn something from these. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, beginning this passage, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. Then, the fa here means then. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La. No, not at all. And this no, it is to negate the false ideas and beliefs that have come earlier in the surah, which are contrary to the truths that are going to be made very soon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, forget about what you're talking about. Put your false ideas aside and your false assumption aside. What was their assumption? إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَلَّن يَحُورُ. He thought, he assumed he'll never come back and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, فَلَا. That's not going to happen. You're coming back and you'll meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the oath begins. So that la negated their false assumption of not coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the oath begins. أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. I swear, I take an oath by the redness of the evening. Ash-shafaq is when Maghrib time comes, like just now we've prayed, and now the sun has set. And if you were to look outside, the sky starts to turn red. There's this sort of red color. You've all seen it. And this is the majority opinion on this ayah, Ash-shafaq. Ash-shafaq is referring to the redness of the sky after Maghrib prayer, after the sun sets. And also, there has been an opinion that's carried on this ayah, Ash-shafaq could also refer to the redness of the sky before sunrise. Before sunrise, as after Fajr, before sunrise, there's also a redness that appears. And the word Ash-shafaq comes from the word shafaqa, which literally means something that's soft by nature. And if you use it in a sentence, you can say shay'un shafiq, meaning a soft thing, something very soft you can't even hold on to it, like a spider web. Then you can say this is shay'un shafiq, it's very soft. And also there's the word ash-shafaqa, and ash-shafaqa is the softness and the compassion and the mercy and the pity that lies in the heart. You say to someone, Ala tushfiqu alayh, you know, don't you feel sorry for him? Don't you have mercy towards him? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ash-shafaq, the redness of the sky that happens before sunrise and after sunset, just like now, He referred to it as Ash-shafaq because of its soft color, this red color. And because you can look directly to the sky and to whatever left of the sun that's setting or rising, and you're not affected. Your vision is not harmed, is not disturbed. So Allah Azza wa Jal called that Ash-shafaq, which came from the word softness, because when you look at that time, you can clearly see the sky and your vision won't be harmed by whatever is coming up from the sun and whatever is sinking from the sun. Now, we need to tie the importance of mentioning this oath الشفق, especially in this surah. Why does Allah mention it in this surah? And why especially here? And this will teach us something about the connection of the beginning of the surah and the ending of the surah. So we said al-shafaq is the redness that is visible in the sky after sunset, Maghrib time. And it's also the redness that's visible just before sunrise. So al-shafaq happens two times a day. You're able to experience this two times a day. And when the sky is red, just before or just after sunset now, when it's red now, this indicates the ending of the day and the beginning of the night. And when the sky is red, just before sunrise, this indicates the ending of the night and the beginning of a new day. So it indicates the ending of a stage and the beginning of a new stage. And at these two times of al-shafaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed upon us two great prayers, al-fajr and salat al-maghrib. This is an indication that it's an obligation upon us to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of every stage. At the end of the day, you must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we pray Maghrib. At the end of the night, we have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we pray Salat al-Fajr. When we pray Salat al-Fajr, that's the end of the night. A new day began. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also made the end of the redness. Once the redness is no longer visible, once it's gone, He made that an indication to the ending time of these two prayers. Meaning that once the redness is gone, Maghrib time is up. And when the morning redness is gone, Fajr time is up. That's it, you can't pray in Fajr anymore. Fajr time is finished. So a shafaq is a sign that indicates the ending of a stage and the beginning of a stage. The ending of a day, the beginning of a new night, and the ending of a night, and the beginning of a new day. Now, what's important to mention, why is it important to mention al-shafaq in this surah? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us? Listen to this very carefully. This surah is named Surah Al-Inshiqaq. We all know this. And in the beginning of this surah, we already shared, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the splitting of the sky. That will certainly happen and take place on the Day of Judgment. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clearly mentions in Surah Ar-Rahman that when the sky splits on the Day of Judgment, its color will be the color of a rose. Right? Red in color. فَإِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ. When the sky eventually splits at the end, it'll give a red color, like a rose. Allah Azza wa Jal, Warda, He said Warda, which is a rose. And the red rose color that the sky will turn into on the Day of Judgment is this same color we see right now. And we see just before sunrise. This is the same color we see at Maghrib time and at Fajr time. And the redness of the sky, when it splits on the Day of Judgment, is a sign and an indication of the end of the world and the beginning of a new life, and that is the afterlife. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us in this world a sign that we see every single day twice, that reminds us about the splitting of the sky on the Day of Judgment. So this minor shafaq that we see, this red color that we see now, we see it two times a day, it reminds us of the greater shafaq that is going to unfold on the Day of Judgment when the sky splits and it turns into a red color. So if you're a person of intellect and a person that ponders and reflects over and upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then seeing the shafaq two times a day that comes at the end of the day and comes at the end of a night, seeing a shafaq should remind you of the greater shafaq that comes. And that's when the sky splits on the day of judgment, and it also has that same red color. And so, how does this ayah come into context of the surah? You see, this ayah is a refutation against the kafir that was certain he will never return to his Lord. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُورَ. He's never going to come back. And he'll never face Allah, and he'll never face the judgment. That was what he assumed, and he was certain about this. So it's like what's being said to him in this ayah. If you are in denial of the day of judgment, on that same day, when the sky splits and it becomes red like a rose, then look at the shafaq at the end of the day and at the end of the night, and let that be a sign of the certainty of the day of judgment. Just like you see it now at sunset, and just like you see it at sunrise, it'll happen again at the end of time. Subhanallah. The red color comes at the end of the day, it comes at the end of the morning. Sorry, it comes at the end of the day, it comes at the end of the night, and it will come at the end of the world. This is the connection of ash-shafaq. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He continues the oath. And He says, وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. And I swear by the night as it envelops everything. Now the word wasaq means in Arabic, مَا جَمَعَ وَضُمَّ. Or مَا جُمِعَ وَضُمَّ, which means what gathers and envelops inside of it. Everything that envelops inside of this thing. So the night gathers and it covers everything inside of it. And this مَا here, وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ, is referred to as مَا الْمَوْصُولَ, and it becomes more عَام, meaning every single thing during the night is enveloped, is covered. And what does that mean? That the night covers everything and it envelops everything, it gathers everything. The ulama say that the night gathers and covers everything with its darkness. So everything at night, all the creatures, they go into their dwellings, into their houses. They're covered from the world. They're not there anymore. They're inside their houses. And things aren't visible at night. And what else is gathered and covered? The mountains. You can't even tell where the mountain is at night. You can't even see the ocean. The tree, you can't even see a tree. So this is what it means by when Allah says, وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. And I swear by the night, as it envelops, it gathers and it covers everything by its darkness. Even if you are in the desert in the night and there's no moon, you can't even see your hand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically saying that everything is covered at night with the darkness of the night. So first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the red evening, the redness. Then he mentions about the night, وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. You see, this is a progression. When you see the red sky now, when you see the red sky, you know what's inevitable. What's bound to come? You know, we said the surah had the theme of inevitability. Things that are bound to happen, not your choice, you can't change it, it's going to come. When the redness appears, what's something that cannot be avoided? And what's something that's coming? Is the night itself. You can't get rid of it. It's coming. And it's going to envelop and cover and gather everything in its darkness. Now let's continue reading and see what the next progression is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقْ. And I swear by the moon as it reaches fullness. اتَّسَقْ, it means to become full, to become complete. You know, they say, اجْتَمَعَ وَتَكَامَلْ. And so this is referring to the full moon in the middle of the month, the days of 13, and the 14th and the 15th. These are the days of the Arabic month in where the moon becomes full. That's وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقْ, when it becomes complete and full. And this is also a progression. The moon doesn't just become full all of a sudden. First it's a new moon, then it becomes like a nail, which they refer to as a crescent. Then it's a first quarter, then it moves a bit bigger and then bigger, and then until it becomes a full moon on the 13th, 14th, 15th, and then it gradually shrinks, going back down to a new moon. So in all three oaths, Ash-Shafaq, the redness, Wal-Layli wa ma wasaq, and the night, as it gathers and covers everything with its darkness, and the last oath, Wal-Qamari idha tasaq, and I swear, by the moon, when it's full, we find that they are signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that indicate the ending of a stage and the beginning of a new stage. And so if Ash-Shafaq, which is the redness of the sky, reminds us of the splitting of the sky on the Day of Judgment, and when the sky also becomes red, what comes after Ash-Shafaq? In this world, what comes after Ash-Shafaq? Now, what comes after this? The night. And what does the night do? How did Allah describe it in this ayah? It gathers everything. It envelops, it covers everything. There's this idea of gathering. Gathers everything in its darkness. And so the night, what does it remind us of? It reminds us of the gathering and the resurrection that takes place on the Day of Judgment after the sky splits and after the earth is stretched. So now compare this for those that haven't understood yet. You have in this world the redness, the evening redness that's right now. That is going to go soon. Once it's finished, Maghrib time is finished. And what comes after it is the night. These two signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not just there for you to look at and just say wow and take pictures of. These are signs of Allah Azza wa Jal for us to look and to ponder over something that's greater. This is reminding us of something bigger. In these ayat we learnt what we're reminded of. When you see the redness, it's reminding you that a day is going to come, and that is the Day of Judgment, where the sky will split by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal and it becomes red. So every time you see the redness, remember the Day of Judgment. And then the night happens. And when the night comes, all of a sudden everything becomes disappeared. Everything is gathered with the darkness. And so the night, what does it remind us of? It reminds us of the gathering of the people on the Day of Judgment. And that happens after the sky splits. And that's why the night happens after Ash-Shafaq. Subhanallah, these are ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal calling us to reflect over and yani, to really internalize this and to think of the Day of Judgment. Twice a day, you should be reminded of the Day of Judgment. And sadly, yani, for Fajr time, sometimes people are sleeping. They don't even get to wake up and see this outside. If you had prayed in the masjid, as you're going back home, you'll sort of see it. Stay a bit awake up until close to sunrise, and you'll see it properly. It should remind you of that. That's the same color that's going to happen at the end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after calling us to ponder over these things of nature, He says, and this is the subject of the oath. Everything we've spoken about, Nora, the interesting things to ponder over, but we still haven't got to what Allah wants to say. Because all these three things are just the object of the oath. I swear by Ash-Shafaq, and I swear by Al-Layli wa ma wasaq, and I swear by Al-Qamari idha tasaq. Now there's climax being built and suspense. What does Allah want to say? Now this is where it gets important. What's the subject? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. All of you, you're all certainly going to ride on one stage after another stage. طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ, meaning حَالًا بَعْدَ حَالٍ, a stage after a stage. Now Allah began this ayah, He said, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ. This lam here is referred in the Arabic language to as Lam al-Tawqid, the lam of emphasis. What that implies, it implies certainty, no doubt. And then Allah said, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ. The noon at the end of this word is also referred to as noon التوكيد, the noon of emphasis, which also implies certainty. And the verb تَرْكَبُنَّ is a present tense. It's now تَرْكَبُنَّ. And present tense, what does it imply? Who can remind us? Abdul Qadir. Continuity. A present tense reminds us of continuity, something that happens continual. So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, now let's translate لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ with all these language tools. Certainly, certainly, no doubt about it, you're going to continually ride one stage after another stage. What does that mean? Go and ride one stage over another. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ الرَّكْبُ is like رَكِبَ الْجَمَلْ or رَكِبَ السَّيَّارَ, to ride the camel or ride the horse. Literally go on top of a stage to another stage. Now the ulama, they mention many sayings in this, but I chose one saying, and that's the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in where he said, the first stage is that you're a drop of fluid. You're a sperm, semen. That's your first stage. The second stage is that you're a clot. Then you move on to the third stage, which is the lump. You become a fetus. Then you come out of your mother's womb. That's another stage. Then you ride up on top of another stage. You become older and you start walking. That's a stage. Then you begin to talk. That's another stage. And then you grow older. You become an adult. You become independent. That's another stage. And then you have strength. Allah Azza wa Jal says, مِن بَعْدِ ضَعْفٍ قُوَّةٍ. He'll give you strength. That's a stage. Then eventually you'll become weak. You won't be able to stand straight. You can't stand up straight. That's another stage. Then you'll die. That's another stage. Then you'll be resurrected. And then you'll stand before Allah Azza wa Jal for the judgment. And then either that's to the hellfire or to the paradise. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us people of the paradise. These are stages after stages. So you'll go through these stages. Just like every evening, just like the shafaq, this time it leads to a night, and every new moon leads to a full moon. Exactly like that. Shafaq, it comes and it goes, it comes and it goes, it goes, it gives us day, then goes back to night. And the moon begins as a new moon, and then it becomes a full moon, and then it decreases and it becomes, and so on, it gradually. So Allah Azza, it's perfect that the subject comes here, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. Subhanallah, what an amazing oath. Amazing how the objects of this oath connect with the subject of this oath. With just a few ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal changes the perspective, the mentality of the believers and of people that are listening to the Quran towards how we see the redness of the night, and towards how we see the night itself, and towards what do we understand of تَرْكَبُنَّ طَوَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ, and how does this refer to the day. You know, as you see the day and as you see the moon bit by bit moving from one stage to another, that's your life. You're moving from one stage to another. Same thing, then the moon dies, then it comes back up. And that's you. You live there, and then you die, and then you'll come back up. Same thing. For this is the connection of the moon being mentioned here with لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. Another reading of this ayah, another qira'ah, and this is the qira'ah of Hamza and Al-Kisai and Ibn Kathir, rahimahumullah ta'ala. They read this ayah in a different recital. So we read لَتَرْكَبُنَّ. They read, and this is all the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them this. لَتَرْكَبَنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. And it slightly changes the meaning. Because لَتَرْكَبَنَّ with a fatha is different to what we just read, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ with ضَمَّ. لَتَرْكَبَنَّ, when you say this, it makes it singular. You're referring to one person. As opposed to saying لَتَرْكَبُنَّ, it's referring to a plural. And لَتَرْكَبُنَّ basically is addressing all mankind. So latarkabanna, because it's singular, it's referring to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling him, latarkabanna tabaqan an tabaq. You, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll certainly, no doubt about it, you'll be going from stage to stage to another stage. And there are a few sayings as exactly to what that means. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be going from stage to stage. One opinion says that you'll ride one sky to another sky, and that's in the night of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Go from one sky to another sky. That's tarkabunna tabaqan an tabaq. Another opinion is that you'll go from one level to another in terms of becoming closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Through your worship, that's a stage after a stage, you're becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third opinion, wallahu ta'ala, they're all right, but one that refers into what in the context of the surah, is that you go from stage to stage, meaning you go from Mecca from Meccan period to the Medinan period. And then you go from there to Badr. And then you go from there to Uhud. And then you go from there to the Ahzab. And then you go back to Fatah Mecca, the conquest of Mecca. And so on. This is tarkabunna atarkabanna tabaqan an tabaq. One interesting thing about latarkabunna tabaqan an tabaq is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these stages in Surah Al-Hadid. And He tells us something about these stages. He describes it to us. And the ayah is, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. Allah, He says, you all better know that certainly worldly life is, what's its first stage? He said, لعب. It's game, it's play. You know, when you're small, all you want to do is just play. Play with your toys, play with whatever it is. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَهُونَ. That's the second stage. And لَهُونَ is best translated as something that distracts you. Or to put it in easy sense, an entertainment. So when you get a bit older, and you sort of forget your Legos, you don't want to play with that anymore, you sort of now get entertained. You want to watch a movie, you want to sing a song, you want to watch TV, you want to read a story, becomes a different thing. There's entertainment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَزِينَةٌ. You grow a bit older, now you're in the stage of زِينَةٌ. What's that? It's the stage of beautifying yourself, being decorative. You know, and so that's the stage when you're a teenager. You want to look good, you see yourself by the brand of shoes you're wearing, or with the watch you're wearing, or whatever it is. Now, you don't care about those other things anymore. That's your concern, is about how I look. Then Allah Azza wa Jal brings us to another stage. He says, وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ. SubhanAllah, they're all in order and they all refer to what it is. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ. So you get a little bit older, you're in university, you're at school, you're in TAFE, whatever it is, you graduate, you get your degree, you get your job, and now it's تَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ. You want to boast and show off to one another. This is my degree. What's your degree? Panel beater, Darren said. Doctor. So this is it. This is the tafakhurun baynakum. Showing off, boasting your degrees, one another, and seeing yourself. And it moves now to another stage. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ. So now you've graduated, you have your certificate, you have your job, you're working. What's being made now? The cash. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ. Making money. And what's after this? وَالْأَوْلَادِ. And after you have money, and you've settled financially, and you're thinking of getting married. And when you think of getting married, then the children come after the marriage. And this is وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Very interesting parable that Allah Azza wa Jal has. We won't have time to discuss it, because then Allah compares all this to كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارِ. And it's very interesting, but inshallah we'll get to it one day. But just to put it in context of the ayat, this is how Allah described the stages. And everyone goes through this. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concluding this surah. He says, فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Then, what is wrong with them? Why don't they believe? Why don't they have iman? فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. After seeing all these ayat and all these signs, after seeing al-shafaq and after seeing the layl and after seeing the qamar, and just looking at it and pondering at it, and after hearing the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reciting the Quran, and after acknowledging that the Quran is the truth, after all this, why don't you believe in Allah Azza wa Jal? Why don't you believe in His oneness? And why don't you believe in the resurrection after the death? Allah just proved to you that you're going from stage to stage. And He proved to you logically by presenting the argument of the shafaq and the layl and the qamar. So logic should already bring you to you believing in the Day of Judgment. So then Allah says, فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And يؤمنون is a verb as well in the present tense, which also, just like لَتَرْكَبُنَّ, it implies continuity. So what's wrong with them? They always see the signs and they hear the Qur'an and they continually deny, and they continually deny to believe. Why? You see, where does iman rest? Where does it lie? In the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ وَيْهِ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. That's where iman is, in the qulub. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us something about these people's hearts in the previous surah, in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. He answered this question. Why don't they believe? He said, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. You remember? The rust, the black spots that are on their hearts because of the sins they used to earn. That's the reason they don't have iman. That's the reason they don't believe. The heart is dirty. The heart is black. And it became black because of the sin, and the sin after the sin they committed. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, He doesn't say, فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. What's wrong with them? They don't listen. No, that's not their issue. These people listen to the Qur'an. They understand the Qur'an more than me and you. It takes us a bit of time to explain a few language things. But they already pick that up. They already know that. You know? That's not the issue. The issue here is that they don't believe in what they listen. And that's not only an issue. Here's another issue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. Make the sajda, then inshallah we'll continue. And perhaps this is the most powerful ayah in the surah, because it contains an order of sujood after reciting or listening to it. And what has been narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Muslim, that a companion by the name of Abu Rafi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu, He prayed behind Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he recited Surah Al-Inshiqaq. And when the sajda came, he made sajda. And Abu Rafi' made sajda with him. And then when he came back up and they finished the salat, he prayed with him Isha. He told him, "Oh Abu Hurairah, what's this sajda you're doing? What's this for?" So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he replied and he said, "I made this sajda behind the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'll continue making this sajda up until I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So this is a serious sajda, and it's serious and it's an important matter to Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Every time he hears it or he recites it, he makes a sajda, and so it should be important to us as well. And just listen to the basic meaning of this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when the Qur'an is recited, when it's read unto them, they do not prostrate. They do not make sajda. So when you listen, you make sajda. Especially at this ayah, because there is a sajda at it. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, firstly, analyze the ayah. He says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ. And when the Qur'an is recited unto them. In other words, this is in the passive form. He didn't say who's reciting it. He said, when it's recited. He didn't say, وَإِذَا قَرَأَ عَلَيْهِمْ, when he recites the Qur'an unto them. You know what we learn from this? Don't worry about who's reciting. When you hear the ayah, you make the sajda. When you hear the Qur'an, you pay attention to it and you respect it. Regardless of who's reading, whoever is reading, when you hear it, you make sujood. Because this word is not the word of who's reading. It is the word of Allah Azza wa Jal, regardless of whose mouth it's coming from. For this is something we learn in this ayah. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ. And we have to understand something more than the sajda of the believers. You know, in the times of the ancient Arabs and the ancient Egyptians, there was a tradition of prostration when people were overwhelmed, when they were amazed over something. So for example, you see in the Egyptian culture, when the Egyptians were defeated by Musa alayhi salam with his stick and their magic crumbled, they made sajda immediately. And you also find in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, the dream he has at the beginning of that surah Allah mentions, it is eventually interpreted as a sajda, that his whole family makes a sajda towards him. And this was done out of appreciation and being amazed. It's not a sajda of worship. We find in ancient Arab history, this is for the Egyptians, now we find in the ancient Arab history, a poet named by Lubayd. And this man was a very talented poet. And when he recited his newest poetry, the poets of Arabia, they made sajda to him. And they took his poetry and they hung it to the walls of the Kaaba in appreciation and amazement of his fantastic work. And so there was a tradition, this is the tradition basically, when you hear or you see something powerful, your response is falling into sajda. That was ancient, that was back then. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the disbelievers even from this point of view. What's wrong with them? They don't believe. And what's wrong with them when the Qur'an is recited unto them, they don't make sajda. Meaning they know the Qur'an is powerful and amazing and they have never heard anything like it before and they still don't give in. Rather, they hold themselves back from the sajda. So this is like Allah's response to them, you're going against your own tradition. Your tradition says if you hear anything wow and it's amazing, you fall down into sajda. Why do you have made the Qur'an an exception? You see, because they know it's the truth, but they cannot actually grab onto this truth and show others they've accepted it. So they disregard it totally. And this is an acknowledgement from them that this is an amazing word and an uncompared word. And that's why no one ever went and did the challenge and brought a surah like the Qur'an. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمْ. When the Qur'an is read onto them, they don't make sajda. Meaning that when it's recited to other than them, what do they make? Sajda. So sort of it's scary, it puts you. When you hear it, you're supposed to make sajda. Because Allah is saying when it's recited onto them, they don't make sajda. You don't want to be from them. You're from those that make sajda when it's recited. So when this ayah comes ever again, you actually make the intention of making the sajda, whether it's at the ayah or at the end of that surah. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this question again in this very same surah. Why don't they believe? Why they don't have iman? Why when the Qur'an is recited unto them, they don't fall in prostration? You know? What made them not believe? And what makes them abandon the Qur'an? And what makes them belie the messengers? And what makes them not perform the sujood? They know the truth. They listen to the ayat every day. And they see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. So what's the reason? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the ayah after it, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. Rather, those that disbelieve, they continually lie against the truth. They continually lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and against the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam and against the ayat of the Qur'an. Allah referred to the disbelievers in this ayah using the word kafaru. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And the word kafaru comes from the word kafara, which means satara. Satara means to cover. So kafaru means to cover. Covering what? You see, the farmer, Allah also refers to him in the Qur'an as a kafir. كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ. Allah referred to the farmer as a kafir. Why? Because literally, he picks up a seed and he covers it in the earth. He buries it and then he covers it with soil. So linguistically, the farmer was called a kafir. Now the kafir, that doesn't believe in Allah, he's called a kafir too, because something of covering is going up, or is going on. And what is this element that he's covering? You know, everyone was created with what? With a fitrah. Everyone was created with a fitrah. And the fitrah is that Allah Azza wa Jal is your Lord. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا. When Allah Azza wa Jal took that covenant, am I not your master? And we all said yes. That's it. That was the seed that's buried in your soul. That was the seed. It's known to as being al-fitra. Now when you came out to this earth, you have the inner light. You have the fitra. You have the seed. But the kafir was called a kafir because he covered it from the outer light, which is what? The ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Qur'an. The soul came from up, and the ayat also came from up. And so the nutrient, the sustenance, the food of this soul is from where the soul came from, and that's the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why the kafir was called a kafir. There's the element of covering. So they hear the ayat, but they don't allow the ayat to penetrate to the heart. And that's why Allah says, لا يؤمنون, and iman is something that lies in the heart. And then Allah says, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. And again, يُكَذِّبُونَ is a present tense. It implies continuity. So these people, they're always, always lying against the truth. Every single time they hear an ayah recited by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they deny and they refuse. يُكَذِّبُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُوعُونَ. And Allah knows best. أَعْلَمُ. He knows better than anyone else what they hide and what they conceal. You know, in Surah Al-Infitar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that the angels know what you do. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. The angels know everything you do of good and bad actions and good of bad words. But here in this surah, Allah says, أَعْلَمُ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. He knows best. He knows better than the angels. So He mentioned Himself here. In other words, you're not scared of the idea of the angels? Don't worry about it. Allah knows. And He said, He doesn't say, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُعُونَ. He said, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. And أَعْلَمُ, this form, when it comes as أَعْلَمُ, it means no one knows more. He's the better of the ones that know. No one knows more than Allah Azza wa Jal. What does He know? بِمَا يُعُونَ. He knows what they conceal. مَا يُعُونَ يعني مَا يُضْمِرُونَ وَيُخْفُونَ فِي نُفُوسِهِمْ وَقُلُوبِهِمْ. Whatever they conceal in their heart and in their soul. يُعُونَ comes from the word wi'a. And wi'a is basically a can or a jug or a jar. It's sort of a can. You can think of it as a jug. And this jug, obviously everything is kept inside. When you put, for example, water in the jug, it doesn't go everywhere, it stays inside. It's concealed within the borders of the jug. And Allah Azza wa Jal, what is He saying when He says, بِمَا يُعُونَ, what does it imply? He knows every single thing that is kept inside that jug, that is kept inside that heart. And it also implies that Allah Azza wa Jal knows even more than the person himself actually can remember about himself. أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُعُونَ. You know? You might put things in a jug and might know what's the first thing you put. You might forget what was the first thing you put in there. And same thing into the heart. You might have an intention, and then another intention, and then something else. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows it all, even if you're going to forget later on. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُعُونَ. In the previous surah, we were given a glimpse of what they conceal and of what they bag for themselves and what they hide. And that was the small amounts of profits they used to make as a result of tatwif. And they wanted to get the full from others when they get from others. They want in full, but when they give the people, they decrease a little bit. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, that's part of bima yu'un. So we're being told bima yu'un here. And in the previous surah, we were told, what's this minor thing they used to hide? Allah knows it. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Then, this is a continuation of the sarcasm that happened at the end of the previous surah. In the previous surah, how did Allah end it? He said, هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. There was actually sarcasm in this. Because Allah is saying, oh, did the kuffar, did they get a good salary? Did they get a good profit from what they used to do? That small crime. Now they're burning in Jahannam, and Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells them, هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا. Did they earn what they deserve? Is this good? Is this a good profit? A good salary? A good pay? That now you're in Jahannam because of that small thing you did? That's a sarcasm. And so Allah Azza wa Jal also in this surah continues this sarcasm, and He says, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ. You, O Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go and give them glad tidings. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ. بَشِّرْهُمْ means give glad tidings. Congratulate them with painful punishment. See the sarcasm? And how to bring this even further to you, you know, it's also, it embeds psychological torture. You know, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ. Give them, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ comes from the word, يعني البشارة, which is good news. It's something in the good. Now, عذاب أليم is not something good. So how does Allah say, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ? I'll give you in worldly experience, you know, when you do an exam, you finished an exam, and the teacher calls you up, and he says, congratulations, you failed. You see how your hope goes up, and you're ready to listen to something good, and all of a sudden you're just destroyed, you're shattered. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jal does to the kuffar. So Allah, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as he's reading, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ, they're all there, their hope is up. Watch for us now. Maybe something good is coming our way. And then it gets slammed with عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٌ فَبَشِّرُهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٌ. So this is, يعني, subhanAllah, this is how Allah Azza wa Jal, He not only physically tortures them, and we're going to see what kind of physical torture they get just by the word alim. Rather, there's also some mental torture even before they're there, here in this world. عَذَاب بِعَذَابٍ. You see, the word عَذَابٍ, it has a tanween at the end. بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ as well has a tanween. And usually the tanween لِلتَّعْظِيمِ or لِلتَّفْخِيمِ, that's known in Arabic. Tanween, it implies greatness. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, give them glad tidings of a real great, great, severe punishment. That's really painful. That's alim. You see, alim. You see that ya mim at the end? Usually in Arabic, anything that's on this pattern, fa'il, anything that rhymes with fa'il, alim, kareem, rahim, all these words, they imply one thing. And that it implies consistency. Consistency. Something that's consistent. And what does this mean now? You need to understand it in worldly terms, so also you can appreciate this as how Allah Azza wa Jal unfolds this on the kuffar on the Day of Judgment. Allah is saying, give them glad tidings of a consistent painful punishment. You know, now in the world, you turn on the stove and you put your finger on the fire. You're going to burn it. And you burn it bit by bit. And at the beginning, you're going to feel severe painful punishment. Or pain. You're going to feel severe pain. Then the nerve is going to burn. That's when the pain is gradually going to drop. And then you're going to burn your meat. Then you're going to burn the bone. It's probably going to go. Then you cut your little fingertip off. And then days after days, you won't feel anything. That's it. It's gone. Once you're burnt and you've recovered, you don't feel it anymore. عذاب أليم, it implies that the very first second of their taste of the punishment in Jahannam is equal to the same punishment they taste 100 years later. It doesn't gradually go down. It's alim. It's consistent in its pain. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. Every single time the skin was to melt off and go, what does Allah Azza wa Jal do? He replaces the skin, because that's where the nerve is. That's where you feel the most pain, when the skin burns. After the skin is a bit alright, it decreases the pain. But this doesn't happen for the kuffar. So Allah Azza wa Jal, just with the word Aleem, we already hear this. And you just comprehend this, yani from the side of the disbelievers, they already know what this implies. And subhanAllah, how thick of a mind could you still have when you know this is the truth? It's not like now you go and give da'wah to a kafir. He's still in confusion. What is your Quran? Well, I don't know. But back then they know. And they would gather amongst one another. And they'd say, man, whatever this man is reciting is going to have a great future. And they know it's the truth. But it's just the heart, it's gone black. And this denial of the Day of Judgment. And we already read in Surah An-Naba, لا يرجون حسابا. They never hoped for a judgment. When you don't hope for something, you had an idea about it, but you didn't hope. You know, Allah doesn't say they never expected judgment. He said they never hoped, meaning they had an idea, they know some sort of something is going to happen. But I wish it doesn't happen. SubhanAllah, this is just the thickness that Allah Azza wa Jal decreed upon these people. And so He gives them عذابٍ أليم. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us from the fire. Now coming to the last ayah of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Who's saved from the fire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا. Except for those who believed and did righteous good deeds. And إِلَّا implies that there's still hope. You know, although Allah Azza wa Jal, through these ayat, there's harshness in the language of the ayat and in the grammar of the ayat, He still gives them hope. He says, illa, except for the one among you, or for anyone else in the case, that believes and does righteous deeds. And also, illa could mean, لَكِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So it could totally have a different meaning of except. Yani it's Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give them glad tidings of a consistent, painful punishment. And then إِلَّا would mean لَكِنَّ, rather the believers. Something different to that. Rather the believers that believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do righteous good deeds. لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. لَهُمْ, only for them and no one else. This is why it's important to mention lahum. So it gives you the impression that this reward that Allah gives them, it's exclusive, only for lahum, only for them. Lahum. What lahum what? What kind of reward does Allah Azza wa Jal give them? Ajrun. Ajrun. Ajrun is a pay, a great reward. غَيْرُ مَمْنُون. That's not discontinued. You gotta understand what that means. A reward that's not cut off. You see, yamnun, mamnun, means to cut off something. Manantul habl, for example, you say, no, I cut the rope. Meaning that the reward Allah Azza wa Jal is going to give the believers, and that is obviously it's referring to the paradise, it is a reward that is never cut off from them, and it's never separated from them. In other words, they stay in the paradise forever. And they're never brought out of the paradise. They're never cut off from this reward, the paradise. They're never separated from the paradise. That's what أجرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُون means. And again, Allah Azza wa Jal says أجرٌ, and there's تنوين. And تنوين implies greatness. So there's some great reward on offer that Allah Azza wa Jal gives. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And now, to conclude the session, as we always do, connect the beginning of the surah to the end of the surah. In the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did He mention? He mentioned the events that happen on the Day of Judgment. You know, He began with the events that happen on the Day of Judgment. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ, and then وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. These are two great events that happen on that day. And it ended the surah with the mention of عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, which is the fire. And He also ended with the mention of أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ, which is the paradise. How does this connect? Because on the day that these events unfold on the Day of Judgment, that's the very same day that there will be the split of the people of the fire and the people of the paradise. Another thing is, at the beginning of this surah, in the very beginning, Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. O human being, you are working thoroughly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hardship after hardship. And eventually you meet up with Allah azza wa jal, فَمُلَاقِيهِ. And at the end of the surah, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after that meeting, there's also two options. You're either عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, we ask Allah to keep us away from this, or you're either أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. So you work your way towards which one you want. And this is the perfect conclusion of the surah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He makes us people of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.